Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
And welcome into the Gus Bradley Show with me, Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach for the first time this year. I know you've been busy with practice and stuff, and Dave Caldwell, the general manager, was kind enough to sit in, but it's the Gus Bradley Show.
No, I appreciate Dave taking a couple of those segments, and I heard he did a great job.
He did a good job. Kind of some spirited conversation there for a couple weeks. It was nice.
I might have to go back and listen to the playback and see what you guys all talked about.
They talked about a little bit about everything. Talked a lot about your roster. Talked a lot about the mechanics of personnel. Certainly unique, you know, this time of year because, you know, the cut-down dates are looming. What is it? When's the first cut date? After the third preseason game is the first one.
Yeah, we go down to 75.
And with this year, you guys have the third preseason game, which is on a Sunday, national TV against the Cincinnati Bengals. So it makes it a little bit unique because the cut's got to be turned right in the next day, right?
Yeah, it really does. You know, and so we'll take the morning, you know, we'll give the morning of after the game to the players off. That will give us some time to make those decisions, and then we'll bring him in for a walkthrough.
So you just got done with 2 days of joint practices with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and looked to be some good work.
It really was. You know, I've never been a part of it. When I was in Tampa, we didn't do it, you know, with Pete Carroll in Seattle. You know, we just practiced with our team. So, you know, we just felt like at this time where our organization is and our team is that it would be a good thing. And I know a lot of work went into it. You know, to make sure that it's organized and well set up. And then the rules, you know, making sure that it's really well run and we get everything we can out of it and very good productive practices. And I was very pleased with it. There was no doubt I would do it again.
So the best part of having practice with another team in your mind?
Well, I think it was perfect timing for us, too, after the first preseason game. And then, you know, this time of training camp, it's good to go against somebody else in practice. I think it stimulates the players and you know, the competition level. You know, also the different looks, you know, and we knew that ahead of time, that Tampa's defense was going to be different than what we ran, and it would give a different look to our offense and to Blake Bortles. And defensively, too, you know, they need to see some different schemes offensively and with a mobile quarterback that could run and extend play. So, you know, we saw a lot of things. You know, and it's not just the scheme things that you look at. It's just how you handle different situations and going against another team and preparing and then coming into a practice and play at a high level.
I think the best part, we back when I was early in my career, we used to do that against the Washington Redskins. We did it against the Philadelphia Eagles. The best part was is that you were going against different guys that had different techniques and different physical traits to where you could learn to play against different type of players.
Well, just look at, you know, ask our pass rushers. You know, they've been going against the same tackles, the same guards, you know, for a couple of weeks now in training camp, with exception of the one game against the Jets. So, you know, to go against a different style and to see different styles and to realize the importance of studying film and studying individual players and see their weaknesses, their strengths, and how you're going to attack them. I think that was very evident this week that players understand that part of it.
If there's a drawback, if there is any, to going against another team in training camp, what is it?
Well, it's going to be very physical. You know, two really physical days of practice. And, you know, so you got to be smart, you know, going into this preseason game that we have, that part of it. And then to make sure that both teams work very well together. And it doesn't just become a fight fest. And, you know, they're true pros and respect each other and respect the opportunity that we have and to challenge each other. Yes. And, you know, I think that was the big point Coach Cutter and I wanted to make.
Yeah, the first day, you know, you got two different fields and you've got activities going on two different fields, so you can't be everywhere. Then the first day, very calm. Tempo was pretty good. We had one little skirmish today. Dante Fowler got into it with one of the Buccaneers' offensive linemen in a pass rush drill. But for the most part, everything seemed to work okay.
No, it was. You know, and then after the scrimmage, after both teams broke, you know, the players got a chance to meet. And you could just tell. And just having a chance to have a team meeting with their players afterwards, you know, they loved it. They thought it was really good and well needed, and a lot of benefit came from it.
Working with Dirk Cutter, obviously working with another head coach to accomplish your goals in 2 days, how was that like with Dirk Cutter?
He was great. You know, this goes back now to the combine. You know, I approached Dirk during the combine, and Dave Caldwell and I talked about, felt it was the right time. So the initial conversations, and then through OTAs and minicamp and over the summer. And I give Tyler Wolf a lot of credit. You know, when you're the home team and you're hosting, a lot of preparation goes into it. And, you know, the field organization, and I think that's what they appreciate. They came into it, and they knew, players knew right where they need to go, coaches knew where they need to go. And I guess that's not how it always is. So it just very, very clean, and Dirk was great to work with.
So I was wondering who handled the logistics of all of that, because you got an entire team coming in. They need the facilities to be able to have a locker room. Do they use your weight room? Do they use your meeting rooms? How does that work?
Well, they used our locker room. They were over at a nearby hotel, and they stayed there, and they did their walkthroughs there. They had the opportunity to come over to our fields, but they chose to stay over there. So, you know, a lot of their video work, their team meeting, their position meetings were all housed in the hotel. So, you know, they used our locker room, and they'll do the walkthrough, I believe, tomorrow in the stadium. But, you know, they were well set up. And, you know, I said Tyler Wolf, but there's so many other people that were involved, too, that, you know, really made a smooth operation.
You know, when colleges agree to play for 4 or 5 years or whatever, there's kind of a home away flavor to it, you know, where it's alternating. Going into an agreement like this with the Buccaneers to practice with them, and they come here to Jacksonville, even though the game is here, is there maybe an understanding that next year, if we can do this again, you guys are coming to our place instead of us going to yours?
Sure. We initially looked at holding it in Orlando, you know, at a celebration or a Wide World of Sports, you know, kind of meet halfway. And, you know, we've got a lot of fans in Orlando, as do they. So that's first what we looked at, and it just didn't work out. So, you know, since we're playing Tampa in our stadium this year, we thought we'd do it, and then, you know, we'll take a look at next year.
Did it feel funny at all? You know, because out here on the field, you've got you, Nathaniel Hackett, Monty Kiffin, that spent time with the Buccaneers. Greg Olson was there, Ron Middleton. And then for their staff, Mike Smith, Dirk Cutter, Nate Kazor, their special teams coordinator. I mean, Todd Monken, their offensive coordinator. A lot of those coaches had spent time here in Jacksonville. So was it kind of unique in that sense?
It was. You know, Dirk and I talked about, you know, he talked about the facilities and the stadium upgrades and, you know, how everything's coming together. So, you know, he could compare it to when he was here. And, you know, still a lot of the personnel, the equipment people and the video staff that was at Tampa are the same people when I was there. So, yeah, there's a lot of close connections there for both sides.
And one of the guys that's on staff with the Buccaneers worked for you, Mark Duffner. Good to see Mark.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, he's doing, you know, a very, very, very good linebacker coach. And I know he's known Dirk for years, and so, you know, he's in a good place right now and doing a great job.
With two practices under your belt against the Buccaneers in the game, 2 days away, does it change anything in a week two preseason matchup of how you conduct the game day operation itself?
Well, you know, we'll look at it. You know, generally your second preseason game, you'd like to get the starters 2 quarters. And, you know, for the big reason is the offense. You'd like to give your first team offense a chance to get into a 2-minute situation to get practice at that. That's the general rule of thumb. But when you have a joint practice like we did, we schedule 2-minute practices, you know, a 2-minute segment in this practice. You saw it today. And, you know, so we'll take a good look at, you know, I'll meet with the trainers and Dave and Milo tomorrow, and we'll see how we came out of it the last 2 days. I know it was pretty physical. And then we'll make a decision how much guys play on Saturday.
Just without going into too much detail, did most of your guys come out of those two practices pretty healthy?
Yeah. You know, an initial meeting with Scott and Milo, yeah, very well. You know, there's going to be some guys that are sore and bumps and bruises, but that's part of it. But, you know, that's the other good thing. I think sometimes in joint practices, though you can say it's not an issue, in the back of your head it's about, you know, injuries and major injuries that take place. And some teams look at it as the benefit outweighs the risk. And so to come out of these 2 days without any, you know, major injuries was a good sign.
Is there a way to get more repetitions when you practice with another team and you have simultaneous fields going on? Is that an advantage, or is it pretty much the same number of reps for your guys?
It's pretty much the same amount. We increased the number of plays, but we were going to do that at this time of the year anyway. As I, you know, we go back to the beginning part of training camp, we cut back on reps just to get our guys acclimated to the weather and to the heat. And at this time, we are going to elevate the number of reps. So more than maybe what we had last week, Some younger guys got a chance to play, but that's what the preseason game is about, too. You get a chance to see some of those younger guys on the roster.
There are some teams in the National Football League that do this twice in the preseason. Prior to the first preseason game, I think the New England Patriots are doing that, to where they practice with one team last week. They're doing it again this week with, I think, the Chicago Bears. Is that something you would even consider in the future?
I don't know. I'd like to really evaluate this game. Dirk and I were talking. He felt like he thought that they were the only team that was doing two, but then we found out New England. But, I think what some teams do is you get different styles. Offense, hey, let's do a 4-3 team, and then let's go do another team a week later and do a 3-4 team, and to work together like that. So, not a lot of teams do it. Like I said, two this year. But the one worked really well, so, we'll just keep evaluating it.
Are you happy with the progress so far in training camp with your team?
I am. You know what? And I thought these two joint practices really showed up some other areas that we need to work on. And, I think those things are pointed out. So it's great in the team meeting, great in unit meetings, where you can point and say, okay, let's find out the truth here. And we're looking at different segments, different situations, and where we're not up to par and where we're not to the standard that we want. So I think it brings those things to light.
What areas?
Well, I didn't think we did very well in the two-minute situation today. And that's the truth. I thought they came out with more intensity and, just their pass rush and, with our pass rush and how we executed. And, that's what I told a lot of the players. I just didn't feel like, you don't want to compare. It's, we should have our own standard. And I just felt like, we didn't really come out in that period like we wanted to. But to our team's credit, we came back in red zone and did pretty well. So, we talk about recovering quickly, and those things are going to happen. You might get punched in the face in a game, and you just got to be able to respond. So, that'd be one area. And there's other areas that we need to take a look at, and we can refine and become more detailed on.
Last question here before we take a break. Are you okay? Because you know what? The last 2 days you had to spend time over there with the offense.
I know. That was tough. I felt like I was a little off kilter, but there was a couple segments where it was alternating plays. When the offense ran a play, the defense on the other field was in a huddle. So it worked out where I could kind of peek over there and see some things. But, that's the great thing about video. We got a chance to watch with the defense, and then, Greg Olson and I and some of the offensive coaches watched it all last night, and you watch all the one-on-one. There's a lot of tape, and it was great to watch.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show, and more with the head coach right after this on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Logan alongside the head coach, and we didn't have a chance to talk with you, obviously, after the New York Jets game. Going back and looking at some of the film and watching it live, I made the comment before the game, I can't wait to watch Dante Fowler because, he was so electric and impactful in the inter-squad scrimmage here at Everbank Field. And then it almost is as if the emotion and – the energy kind of got the best of him a little bit, because during the game it was just kind of eh.
Well, what do you have, 9-10 plays,
yeah,
I think, in the game? So, a lot of those were first and second down. So, limited plays, but you're right. Dante has not played football for a while in a real game like the opportunity he had. And, I just think he was so excited, so happy to be back out there with his team and to play a game. And, you can imagine, this guy, he loves football now. He has a passion for it and plays with passion. And, he just wanted to take it all in.
Yeah, they actually had him mic'd up for that game, or had microphones around him, and it was on Jaguars.com. And you could just see the commentary about dress rehearsal he was saying, and that you could tell that he didn't get the feel for the game that he wanted to.
Right.
But you could just tell that the emotions were running high prior to the game, and he was like, okay, first step back.
Right. Well, and, we have meetings with the younger players about what's your routine? How are you going to come in the facility? How much time, when do you wake up? Okay, I wake up at 6. I take a half hour just to collect my thoughts. I drive in from 6:30 to 6:20 to 7:00, and then, what is it? And a lot of these guys are figuring it out. And we have had conversations with them during OTAs, mini camp. But now when you're getting to training camp, it gets heightened a little bit. And we just had a meeting where Scott, Milo, and I brought Allen Robinson to talk to the rookies about his routine. And I think it opened a lot of eyes about, hey, you know, once we get to this point in time in training camp, we're getting into some games, you know, here's what it takes to take care of your body. And Allen learned from guys too. So these guys are starting to incorporate some new ideas. I know Jalen Ramsey's a classic example. His routine today or this week is different than it was 2 weeks ago, but he's starting to figure out his routine.
It's funny that you bring that up because prior to the Jets game, Paul Posluszny might have the most intense routine of anybody that I've ever seen prior to a game. He's got a routine. He's working with med balls and Thomas Linsky, the head strength and conditioning coach you mentioned as Milo. And it was good to see Miles Jack literally in his hip pocket doing everything almost step for step with Paul Posluszny because, I mean, that's what you like to have young players kind of learning from the older players to learn the way that they need to take care of business.
It really is. It's unbelievable. You know, Puz has really taken him under his wing. I mean, I give credit to Puz. I mean, here's a guy coming in, playing the same position as Puz, and it's a great competition. And Puz will take him and say, hey, let's go out there. This is how we do pregame. Go through it. Tell me what you like, what you don't like. And Miles is just eating it up. I mean, he's taking it all in. So credit to Miles as well for listening. And but they do. He has got his routine down before practice. Before games, you know, so that whole process was sped up a lot due to Puz.
You know, you mentioned Allen Robinson talking to the young players about his routine. He's still young himself. I mean, going into his third year, but I mean, when you mention a guy and then having him speak to a group of young players, I think that's certainly a compliment to Allen Robinson's maturity to where he's at.
It's a great compliment. And, you know, we talked about this for years, the race to maturity. And we're going to put these guys in position to lead at an early age. And that's why with Allen Robinson, the way he takes care of his body, we wanted to put him in that position. And he did a great job. Now, I was just talking to Scott Trulock, our trainer, and he just said, I really believe, Gus, that had an impact on these guys. They were really listening, and you're seeing guys competing, trying to figure it out.
Every year, you know, new leaders emerge. Are you seeing some new leaders emerge?
I am, without a doubt. You know, you take a look at Blake Bortles, Brandon Linder, Allen Robinson, you know, along with the Puzzes and the Gibsons and the Telvin Smith. I mean, as a coaching staff, we can now point out to guys and say, hey, these guys are really developing these traits to become very strong leaders for us. And it's very evident. And, you know, they'll only grow even more and more in that position. And it's real natural. It's nothing that's force-fed. It's nothing that they're feeling like, you know, out of their comfort zone to lead. It's just becoming very natural.
And how critical is it that Blake Bortles become that? I mean, because he's the quarterback.
Well, yeah. I mean, people are going to respond, you know, on offense how Blake responds. And it doesn't mean that he has to be somebody else. He just has to be him. And, you know, but handle difficult things that come our way like a leader should. And, you know, just he's so competitive. He's so focused on the next rep. You know, after this rep, I want to get to the next rep. If I did something wrong, give me another rep to compete again. And, you know, the players feed off that.
All right, got some questions for you about the offensive line, and we'll do that on the other side of the break right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show, and this segment is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. All right, the offensive line, first preseason game, didn't have Brandon Linder at center. Tyler Shatley played extensively at center. Josh Reed played at played at left guard, and Luke Jokel played at left tackle. Did a pretty good job because, I mean, if you look at the running back numbers, very good as far as yards per rush.
You know what? We did. We felt for the first time, you know, obviously you look at tape and there's things you could do better. But to come out and establish the run like we did and some of the schemes, and you look at the overall tempo of the offense. You look at the tempo, how much time when we get up the line of scrimmage gives Blake a chance to make any changes that he needs to. It gives the line the opportunity to designate, you know, how they're going to block the particular scheme. So I just felt like there was a good flow to it, a good, you know, a good tempo to the whole thing. And the offensive line did a nice job. You know, sometimes with injuries, sometimes with like a Beecham not being able to practice or a Linder not being ready to practice, it gives younger guys opportunity. And coaches, you go, God, we want those starters in there. And that's great. But it gives opportunities to see guys. And Chris Reed and Tyler Shatley, I thought they did a nice job that first game. And all of a sudden you're going, you know what? This is cool because we're creating more depth. And, you know, you kind of understand how they're going to play, and you can really evaluate where players are, and in the long run can make us stronger.
I thought that the performance of Chris Reed really nice. I mean, what did he play, like 69 snaps?
Lugs, he wow. Twisted his ankle and hurt his knee on the first play of the game and played the game. You know, so did an outstanding job. And, you know, I think he really showed us. We thought, hey, he's having a pretty good training camp, and then he went in there and played pretty well. So, you know, I think, you know, he still has a lot of room for growth, but very pleased with how he handled it.
You know, the one guy that really isn't getting talked about much, and me and Baselli were talking about him at length, I think, at the practice today, is right guard A.J. Cann, who made a couple plays in practice today that made you stand up and take notice. His pass protection's been good, but, boy, it seems like he has taken a significant step forward as a right guard.
He really has. The consistency is what you're seeing in him, play in and play out. Now, I know yesterday, you know, he lined up against McCoy a couple times, and it was a different style. And A.J. was frustrated, especially first in the first 9-on-7. But a credit to him, how he came back, finished practice strong, and then carried over another good day today. And that's the cool part of that, and that's A.J. I mean, here he is in his second year playing that position, and, yeah, he's been playing really well.
This week you're going to get Brandon Linder back and playing in the preseason game on Saturday night. What do you do at left guard this week?
Well, you know, Luke Jokel will play left tackle, and then you'll see Chris Reed, you know, going in there again at left guard. But you'll see Shatley and, you know, the guys that McKenzie, you know, you'll see all those guys getting opportunities in there. So it gives us another chance to look at Luke at left tackle and Linder as a center and Parnell and A.J. And, you know, we're getting closer to trying to figure this out, or closer to our first game anyway. So, you know, it'll be good. You know, Chris Reed will get a lot of the snaps with the ones.
With Kelvin Beecham practiced a little bit yesterday against the Buccaneers, practiced a little bit today against the Buccaneers. But, you know, with a guy coming back from ACL, there's a lot of unknowns, you know, where he's going to be at come opening weekend. So do you almost have to have contingency plans built in and ready to go and not expect him to be ready for the opener?
Well, you anticipate, you know, hey, it's going to be between these five or six guys or seven guys. And then you get into preseason, a couple guys show up, and you go, all right, we got more depth. And then they play another game, and you say, you know what? If they need to step in and be the starter for a couple games, we're okay. And, you know, but I think with Beecham, you know, sometimes when you go through an injury like that, the rehab, when you from day one, there's ups and downs. And I give him credit now. He's fought through a lot, competed all the way through. And training camp, he did a nice job. And his attitude and his work ethic, and he's gaining confidence in it. And, you know, so we'll see how it shakes out here in the next week or so.
It's amazing how injuries impact how you can actually rotate guys. You know, Josh Wells goes down with a thumb injury. Okay, well, now Luke Jokel has to play more left tackle instead of getting some reps at left guard. And then you have Brandon Linder's injury with his groin, and now Shatley has to take the majority of the snaps at center, maybe limiting his snaps that he can take at a guard position. It's amazing how that happens in training camp, and it kind of impacts the decisions that you make as coaches because of injury.
Well, you take a look at Doug Marone and John Benton, the job they're doing with the offensive line. If you go back, rewind it back to OTAs, where we made the decision to play guys at multiple positions. A.J. Cann played at right tackle, you know, and guys were moved all along there. And I can remember dealing with questions, A.J. at right tackle and Shatley at guard, or, you know, you just have multiple conversations. But it gives you flexibility. You're ultimately trying to get the five best guys on the field. And if they can play multiple positions, it gives them more of an opportunity, the more that you can do, and it brings more flexibility to your staff. So injuries are going to take place, and you got to be able to, you know, adjust and get the best five on the field. And when they can play multiple positions, it gives you that flexibility.
Well, and I know that constantly probably in your daily discussions with Dave Caldwell. You know, you said before that you guys talk every day. The numbers that you're talking about for the roster, is that something that's talked about throughout the course of training camp, about numbers at each position, and that kind of goes into how you're thinking about repping guys during the preseason?
Right. You come up with numbers, and you do that beginning of training camp, and then day three it might change a little bit. And, you know, you have some flexibility just based on who's doing well in camp. You know, hey, we thought we'd only have four in this position. Now we may have five. How does that affect it? And those conversations are always taking place. But those, you know, they'll heat up more next week when we have to start making that decision down to 75.
All right, we'll talk to more roster conversation with the head coach right after this on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Jeff Lagerman with the head coach, Gus Bradley. And, Gus, you know, on game day sometimes, it's pretty interesting to where the networks sometimes get you and Todd Walsh confused. I mean, you both got, you know, the bald heads, the goatees are going. And Todd Walsh is now the new defensive coordinator, longtime friend of yours. How's that transition going?
It's going great. You know, Todd is well-versed in what we want to do and how we want to build this. And he's really put his own personality on the defense. And the players really understand where he's coming from. You know, I really appreciate his accountability. I mean, every day in unit meetings, he puts up the number of busts, who had them, you know, calls them out. I mean, great accountability in the room. And the players love it. And they want to be held accountable. And, you know, there's so many other things his personality has shown through. But just the detailed, he's going to be very detailed. There's no gray area. The players are going to know exactly what's expected of them. And then he expects them to do that, and we'll hold them accountable to it.
The first preseason game with the New York Jets, you got a headset on. Todd Walsh has got a headset on. And it's his first game.
Right.
How did he do?
He did really well. He did really well. And, you know, we have conversation, you know, when the series is done and the offense is on the field. You know, we'll go back and forth, and when there's a timeout, you know, we'll have conversation. And just his line of thinking and how he's going to go about doing it, very aligned, you know, and I think that's important. And really the whole defensive staff, you know, that's those meetings where I think earlier it came out where they watched five plays in a number of hours, you know, but it's that kind of detailed. And every coach speaks the same language. The players speak the same language. And when you have free agents, rookies, you know, guys that have been in your system, you got to mesh that together quickly, so it's important that you have the common language.
Speaking of the free agents, so watching the first preseason game, you know, didn't get a chance to see Tashaun Gibson. He was held out. But Malik Jackson did play, and I really was impressed with the power that he displayed in pushing the pocket at times. And, in fact, I think it was Ngakoue's sack that he got it on. There was nowhere for Ryan Fitzpatrick to set up because Malik Jackson had pushed the pocket and had done it in a couple other instances. He is a big, powerful man.
He really is. You know, just stand next to him and you can see that just in his physique. But when he plays, when he is really playing well, it all starts with his get-off. And when he has really good get-off, that's when he becomes disruptive. And, you know, that's our challenge to him, to keep that, you know, really challenge that get off, because, you know, in that play that Yannick got the sack, he had great get off, pushed the pocket, you're right, condensed the pocket for Yannick to make the play.
You know, he's still kind of, I guess you could say, early in the stages of development, because, you know, he's making a position switch. And it's not a major switch. It's like, not like he's going from corner to linebacker, but he's going from, you know, a 3-4 defensive end to a 3 technique, which is essentially a defensive tackle in a 4-3. How long do you think it will take for him, or is this going to be a growth process that you'll continue to see him get better and better and better?
Well, you do hope that, but, you know, there's a lot of times he played 3 technique in Denver's defense. So that's a lot of the tape that we watched, so we could get a good feel for how he was going to play the position. So it'll be a relatively smooth transition for him. But, you know, every player needs to, you know, stay on those things. And like I said, it comes back to his get-off and play recognition and you know, that's what preseason's all about. These training camp practices are so important for these players. And, you know, just building the stamina and also to play at that high level, play after play. And, you know, you're starting to see him come into that group.
With the addition of Malik Jackson in the offseason and Dante Fowler's return from injury Ngakwe's, you know, draft pick coming in, Sheldon Day. A lot of conversation has been spent on all the new. But one of the guys that was new last year in Jared Odrick, there really hasn't been a lot of conversation about him, but I've seen him take a significant step. It almost looks like the way he moves and lines up and plays the position that he's asked to do, whether it's a three technique as a pass rusher or that strong side 4B, it looks like he's gained a significant comfort level in knowing what the defense allows him to do.
You're right, and you probably saw it yesterday, because yesterday was his best practice of training camp. Played very physical, tough, you know, showed some short area quickness. So really all the things that we want him to develop to be, he showed in that practice. And you're right, he's had a good training camp practice, but yesterday he really showed up. And, you know, he had quite a few sacks for us last year at that position, and he needs to continue that. He's a force with the run, and we need to keep developing as that pass rusher.
Send Derek Marks, another year coming back from an injury. You know, last year when he returned to play, he was still, I think, working through the knee. Tears the tricep coming back from that, and then still kind of finding his way back with the knee. I thought in the last week, and I think it started with the Jets game, you started to see some signs of the old Sender.
You did. You know, you look for players. You know, we talked about with Marquise Lee where they start stacking up good practice after good practice after good practice. And you're right, Logs. I would say the last four practices for Senderic have been impressive, where we're starting to see the Senderic that we've come to know and expect. And, you know, you're right. He's gone through a tough time with those injuries and battling back and the stamina and going through practice. And he give him a lot of credit. He has fought through it, and it's good. Now just keep stacking them up, Senderic. Keep stacking them up. And, you know, get him back to where he was, if not even better.
Because you got a highly competitive defensive line. You know what I mean? The numbers, you know, you got draft picks, you got free agents.
Well, guys are fighting for reps.
Yeah.
You know, when you go, you talk about third down pass rush or, you know, nickel pass rush, you know, they're all waiting. They want their opportunities. And that's a tough room to manage because you have strong personalities and they all want to be on those in those situations. So, you know, it is. It's extremely competitive. And, you know, we'll do some rotations in this game coming up. And we're just, you know, trying to find out who, you know, who's the first group going out, who's the second group. Hopefully we can develop two groups that can really bring a lot of pressure.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back with the head coach. We'll talk some special teams and some new rules changes in the National Football League this year. We'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Logan alongside the head coach, Gus Bradley. And Gus, new rules changes for this year, and we'll talk specifically about the one on special teams where if it's a touchback, the ball comes out to the 25. Many coaches around the league have been asked how they're going to handle that. Do you just continue to kick the ball deep and want to get a touchback? Or do you try to kick high and maybe have the ball drop somewhere around the goal line, forcing a return, potentially getting a tackle inside the 25? Have you guys kind of come up with a plan with that, or is it something that you just kind of wait and see?
Yeah, you know what? I think in preseason, you generally try to get your kickoff short because you really want to work on your coverage teams and their ability to tackle and see who can get off blocks and make plays. So you purposely try to do it in preseason. But I think with this new rule now, you're seeing teams do it even more so, you know, just to see how good is our kicker at doing it. And, you know, we should all know the intent, and safety is first and foremost in all of our minds. And, you know, but then that competitive, you know, edge comes in. You know, does it give you an advantage? And so if it's, you know, maybe a team doesn't have a real good kick returner, you know, will you see more of these pooch kicks? You know, will you see these, you know, will it be the opposite effect? So, you know, I think we just got to wait and see what happens and how teams approach it. You know, I know we're choosing, you've seen us, we're trying to kick it short, but a lot of it is to work on coverage, and it'll get to the point where we can see what our kickers can do as far as the pooch. But, you know, it's something that you at least have to evaluate and see where you're at.
The coverage against the Jets on kickoff, kicking it short, so you can work on that coverage. Not particularly strong. Any area specifically that was problematic that needs to be corrected?
Well, yeah, there's a couple things. You know, one, we didn't scheme it. you know, but it's still no excuse. There still were guys there that could get off blocks and make plays, and we didn't make them. We had guys that were folding in, had one-on-one tackles, and we just didn't tackle very well. So, you know, it's, you know, that's more of an emphasis even this week too, is getting off blocks and making plays that you need to make. And, you know, the scheme stuff will come. But, you know, I think something like that happened, it looks bad, and, you know, you feel terrible about it. But the emphasis this week, you know, to get off blocks, I mean, it's clearly demonstrated to the players. They understand the importance of it, to get off blocks and, you know, take care of the responsibilities and make plays.
And part of evaluating the coverage units goes a long way towards determining a roster. You know, because when you start to look at guys that are not going to be starters or rotational players, then all of a sudden you're evaluating them for their ability to contribute on the four core special teams units, which is kickoff, kickoff return, punt, and punt return. So how valuable is it that you get a lot of evaluation throughout the preseason in those areas?
It's extremely important. You just look at their wide receiver spot. You know, teams will carry five, maybe six, you know, some four. But let's say just on the average five. Well, that fifth wide receiver, if he can play multiple positions for you as a receiver, that's great. But most coordinators will say, hey, we understand that position. He's got to be a four-core special teams player. And we understand that we're not going to maybe have a guy that can step right in. Now, we're fortunate that our competition, you know, Brian Walters, you know, Rashad Green, those guys, Regis, you know, Aurelius Ben, those guys, you know, are all doing some pretty good things as wide receivers for us. But, you know, they all are playing at least two core or three core or four core in special teams as well.
Well, that to me, is that the most amount of time that you spend watching film with Dave Caldwell, is that special teams? Because to me, I mean, that's some of the stuff I think on offense and defense is a little bit more apparent, whereas on special teams, you really kind of got to jump in, you know, wholeheartedly.
Well, when you go from 60 to 53, you know, a lot of those guys are what you're watching, the special teams. You know, how do they do on special teams? And, you know, Mal wants length and Mal wants speed. And, you know, you're looking for combinations that fit his scheme. So, yeah, it takes a lot of time to watch the tape and see, you know, guys that are playing maybe position on offense or defense, how does it calculate on the special teams?
Well, and it was also to talk about the kickers and the punter. You've got a new punter. I've been very impressed with him. He seems to have a lot of consistency, Brad Nortman. The kickers seem to have a little bit of a battle going on as well. Jason Myers and the newly signed Sam Ficken right before training camp has been pretty consistent as well.
Yeah, it's great for both of them, you know, to have that type of competition. You know, in the game situations, you know, there's sometimes where it's fourth and one, we may have gone for it. But it gives us an opportunity to punt and see, can we get it inside the 10? You know, how good, how accurate are we? So you take advantage of those situations that present themselves. But I think the special teams, you know, as far as our specialists, punter, kicker, great competition, but, you know, they're doing pretty well.
All right, we need to get the long snapper to stop, you know, drawing personal fouls. I mean, can we get something done with that, Gus?
Yeah, there's no doubt. When the official came over and told me, 46, I was like, there's no way.
I didn't see it in live action, and I watched the film, like, Carson, really?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
he's making a statement, old Tate.
Oh yeah, trying to get a bad reputation. The rough housing long snapper Carson Ticker in the National Football League. Let's take a break on the Gus Bradley Show. We return last segment with the head coach right here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show with the head coach, Gus. And, Gus, this week it's the opener for Everbank Field, new stadium improvements, first time in front of the home crowd. You've got to be excited for not only your football team but for the fans.
It's awesome. I mean, you know, Dirk and I were talking at the field because he was here earlier, like we said, and he saw the stadium improvements. And I said, wait till you go inside. I mean, it's like a completely different stadium, and our guys are fired up. We had that scrimmage. Now it's game time.
Well, I'm excited to watch, and I'm excited for the fans' reaction because it truly is remarkable, the changes that have occurred at Everbank Field.
Great game day experience, Logs.
All right, thank you, Gus, and we'll talk to you next week right here on the Gus Bradley Show. Same time, same place.